reading today is from the book of Psalms, Psalm 62, verses 5 through 12. But before we hear these words of the psalmist, let's begin with a time of prayer. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scripture is read and your word is proclaimed, that we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. Now hear the word of the Lord. Yes, my soul, find rest in God. My hope comes from him. Truly he is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. Trust in him all times, you people. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge. Surely the low-born are but a breath, but the high-born but a lie. If weighed on a balance, they are nothing. Together they are only a breath. Do not trust in extortion, or put vain hope in stolen goods. Though your riches increase, do not set your heart on them. One thing that God has spoken, two things I have heard. Power belongs to you, God, and with you, love, Lord, is unfailing love. And you reward everyone according to what they have done. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, you come to us today asking us to have a quietness of the soul. We lay down our anxieties, fears to you. Help us to embrace that, Lord. Help us to find a way to live in that strength that you offer us. And may our souls truly rest in you. Bless the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. These last 2 weeks I have preached on how Mr. Rogers taught some of the most essential Christian values around self-acceptance and neighborly hospitality. Today I want to highlight one of the practices that he implemented on his show, a practice that reinforces our connection to our Creator and one that provides us deep wisdom from within ourselves. When you watch Mr. Rogers today, and recently we've had it on at our house, you are immediately struck by how dreadfully slow the show was. He takes his good old time to do everything on this show. And at first, you just want to say, get on with it, man. What are you doing? But then when you finally settle into the rhythm of the show, you can feel yourself slow down. Your ability to focus improves. You feel a more inner quietness you don't normally have in life. As you know, Mr. Rogers had this calm, methodical approach to the show and in his personal life and the way he conducted himself. And he allowed for moments of silence and peace to happen. That was the point of that quietness. Think about the cartoons or shows that were on when Mr. Rogers started. I think of Adam West's Batman with its boom, pow. You know, on that show, silence was considered deadly. But Fred Rogers dared to buck the trend and offer an opportunity to slow down, to be intentional, reflective in a world that wanted to do quite the opposite. Now the first verse of Psalm 62 says, "For God alone my soul waits in quietness, or my soul rests in God alone." The writer is struggling with some enemy who is seeking destruction and violence of some sort, and the psalmist turns to God in the midst of these terrible circumstances to summon something that will make the situation better. Scholar James May states that the Hebrew does not mean simply verbal silence, that my soul waits in verbal silence, but also more of a quietness of the soul, an inner stillness that comes from yielding all fears, anxieties, and insecurities to God in an act of trust. This verse is a declaration saying, truly my soul is at rest in God. Now think about this. How do we quiet our souls down enough to live with such intention and peace that God intends for our lives? How do we embrace a quietness so strong that we're reconnected with the glory of our Lord God and we can yield all things in this world that prevent us from acting with love and justice and self-sacrifice? Because here's the reality, right? When we quiet our hearts, when we quiet ourselves down for just a few minutes, we're faced with a lot of things we don't want to face with, that we don't want to face in this world. Things about ourselves that we're not happy about. Things that we know we can do better. And so we'd rather not have the quietness. We'd rather not have that time to reflect, because if we're truly reflecting, then we might actually say, oh no, there's something I need to face, something I need to deal with, something I need to put aside so that I can serve God more fully. So we avoid quietness. We act like it's death because it forces us not to face ourselves, our shadow side. But Fred, he knew silence was something that we had to face and that we had to be intentional about it. And at every time he was asked to speak, he would get up and say, we're going to take a minute of silence. And what we're going to do is you're going to think about someone with whom you are thankful for in your life. I played that clip last week. You're going to take a moment to reconnect yourself to yourself and to your Creator. Where are you thankful? Where are you hurting? Who are the helpers around you? Fred knew silent or slow spaces were not our enemies, nor were they wasteful, but they actually offer us a chance to have inner peace, an inner peace so strong that we can be courageous and bold in our daily lives. So as I read about the four chaplains this week, I sensed in each of them their inner strength and courageousness sourced from their strong connection to their Creator. These four men came from wildly different backgrounds and faith traditions, and I encourage you to go online and read some of the stories about these men. But despite their differences, in a moment of quite literal chaos, they found a quietness of the soul to serve those around them and to lay down their lives so that others may live. The ship the four chaplains had been on in its pre-war life was a luxury passenger ship called the Dorchester. It was built to entertain, bringing joy to vacationers. It was constantly filled with laughter and drinking and dancing. But in 1942, the ship became a transport ship for some 904 soldiers headed to Europe to fight Germany during World War II. That's the evening before its sinking, as Ed mentioned, the four chaplains ministered to the soldiers. They played music in its big dining hall. They held worship services. They visited with the soldiers who were afraid in the midst of a fear of an attack from a German U-boat. And with little protection from its journey from New England to Greenland, the ship was struck by a torpedo from a German U-boat. And the confusion and chaos that ensued, the four chaplains leapt to service, organizing the escape boats, handing out life vests. And as the ship was sinking, each of them offered their own life vests to others and stood on the ship's bow with arms linked, their heads bowed in prayer as the ship sunk into the icy waters of the North Atlantic. Their names were George Fox, Alexander Good, Johnny Washington and Clark Poling. And in many ways, they were an image of unity in diversity. 225 out of that 904 survived the sinking that day. And many of them repeated the story of these four chaplains and the ways in which they served. Now, I cannot fathom the inner quietness that these men possessed in their last moments of life. How is such peacefulness possible in a moment like that? Now, perhaps they had prepared themselves for this beforehand. They knew that they may be called on to lay down their lives to save others. Perhaps it was the moment that brought out of them courage, inner peace, required to act as boldly as they did. I don't know. I'm not sure I would be able to do what they did. To offer peaceful presence of God in the midst of watery chaos. It reminds me of Genesis. Yet I do know that they put into action the words of Psalm 62. Yes, my soul finds rest in God. My hope comes from Him. Truly, He is my rock and salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. My salvation, my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock and my refuge. Each of these four chaplains found what Philippians 4 states is a stillness like the peace of God, which passes all understanding. A quietness that sourced their courage and their bravery, peace that only God can give. Now, Fred Rogers called silence an act of resistance. Resisting the forces of chaos and distraction always swirling around us. Resisting the fear and the shame that keeps us from reaching out to our neighbor and to those in need. Resisting the temptation to only serve ourselves. So too, we are called to resist with a quietness of the soul. Our very own quietness of the soul. Slow down your pace of life. Take time to turn off the distractions. Be in prayer and reconnect with yourself by reflecting on your day. And connect with your Creator. And find the stillness that brings courage and that moves you to act with mercy, justice, and love. And so today, I want us to take 1 minute, and I'm going to time you. This is what Mr. Rogers did. He said, I got a watch. I got a cell phone, Mr. Rogers. And let us take time to reflect on how we may reconnect with ourselves and with our Creator and be thankful. Take a moment of silence. May we quiet down our own souls so that we can find the strength that God has given us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.